yesterday. I wrote about it in the notes, but still just to say it out loud, because it was, I thought, a missed opportunity for me. So from the beginning of the Masechta, one of my talking points, as my brother likes to say, so one of my talking points has been the affiliation between, Naziris and Seder Kadshim. It's not really my talking point. I took it from Tosfos, but, I'm projecting it very strongly. Remember, we talked about the idea of somebody signing up to be a Nazir, just in the sense of bringing the Korbanos of the Nazir. So that Havamina that we had yesterday, that for purposes of Tumas Meis, that you would have the same Shiur as you would have in the Beis HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash is defined by Shiur Hishtachavaya, right? And we said, oh, maybe that applies to Nazir as well, right? Maybe he has to wait that period of time. And the Gemara said, Teiku, we weren't sure about that. That Havamina makes a lot more sense, right? If you understand that Nazir is deeply rooted in Kadshim. So maybe we'll apply exactly the same standard of Tumas Mikdash outside of the Beis HaMikdash when it comes to a Nazir who's in contact with a mace. So I missed the opportunity from yesterday, but that's the good thing about Daf Yomi. You can always come back the next day, try to get these things in. So I indicated that. If anybody is keeping a chart at home of, Nazir and Kadshim, so that should definitely go on the list. Okay, that brings us now to the top of Yirches Amnalef. And remember what's been at play here is the very delicate balance between somebody who's already Tameh and takes the vow of Nazirus. And we said, in the end, even according to Reish Lakish, it's going to be Chal. The question is whether or not there's going to be Malkos, whether or not there's going to be Tiglachas, as opposed to somebody who was Tahor and defiled his Nazirus, which Rabbi Yochanan has been militating very strongly for Kol Hazman the entire time. So we find ourselves on the top of 18a, Yudches Amud Aleph. And let me just give everybody a moment to find the place, and then we'll be back into the discussion in terms of the parameters of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish at the most fundamental of levels. So two lines from the top of Yilches Amud Aleph. Tashma v'timei rosh nizro v'tar shenitma kasa medaber shutan habar seir v'avas tziporin v'liftor es hanazer bekever she'en tan habar seir v'avas tziporin v'lodvarim kal v'chomer. The Gemara wants to prove exactly what we're saying from a Kal V'chomer, that it should only apply to somebody who defiled his Nazirus, as opposed to somebody who was Tameh as a Nazir from the very beginning. Remember, he took the vow of Nazirus in a cemetery or something like. So the Gemara tries to say, but maybe it should be a Kal V'chomer. If a person was Tahor and then they become Tameh, they have to go through the whole process of shaving their head and bringing the three korbanos, the two birds, echad the chatas, echad the ola. Then the eighth day, they're going to bring the kemes l'asham and the log hashamen. So tamal omar v'timei rosh nizro v'misha yatar v'nitma kasa v'daber sheheitan avar aser v'avar sipar and liftor es hanazer v'kever shema mina. So now let's dig down a level deeper historically to see if we could go back to the Tanaim and see these shitos come alive. Mantana that that there really is no difference between the two cases of somebody who became a Nazir in the Beis HaKvaros as opposed to somebody who was a Nazir B'Tara and then lost his Nazirus by entering into a cemetery. Right, he's allowed to count starting from day 7, as we saw before. We're trying to identify that shita. Just to remind everybody why that would be the case, right? That you can't count the seventh day, because remember that the person who is Tahor and then it becomes Tameh, so if he's going to have to bring his Korban, right, the part of that Korban is only brought on the eighth day, right? On the seventh day, right, he does sprinkling on day 3, day 7, he goes to the mikvah, but on the eighth day is when the korban is brought in full. So obviously the eighth day is the day on which he can restart counting his Nazirus. So who is that? Amar Chista, Rebbe? It's the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, right? Hardly an esoteric figure. Amar Rebbe, a Nazirus Tara Chala Elad Shemin. In the eighth day, Disim, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, he Hamar Nazirus Tara Mishavi Yehuda Chayla. So Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda seems to think that it would already be D7. So my Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, where do we have the shitos recorded? Ab initio, the Tana v'kidashes rosho bayomahu bayom havaos kavonosav de Rebbe. So Rebbe says the day that he, up until now he was in mechusar kipurim, right, and now he has to bring his karbanos for defiling his Nizirus. So then on day 8, after he brought his Korbanos, he can start again. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'yom Tiglachaso, right? That you could go a day earlier from the previous day when he did shaving his hair and bringing the Tziporim, right? It's not until the next day that he brings the Karbanashem. So he thinks he could start counting at day 7. So obviously what Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are having is a fundamental machlokes about the nature of the Karbanashem. Is the Karbanashem an intrinsic part of the process of becoming Tahor, or do we say that it's sort of like the beginning of the new phase, right? That's the question. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, of course, it belongs to the previous phase. You cannot start possibly counting the zeros until the completion of that part the process. On the other hand, right, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda seems to think that it's somewhat extrinsic. So Rabbi Chista, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he, the Amr Naziris Tara Mishvi Chayla, Umishkachas Lakigot Shinitma Bishvi, Vichazar Vinitma Bishvi. Okay, it's a very fascinating idea that somebody who became Tame and then became Tame again, Kimadol Yatsa Shah Haruya Lahavi Karban, Eno Chayav Ela Karban Echad. He's saying, Rabbihi, the Nitma Bishvi, Vichazar Vinitma Bishvi, Kulu Tuma Arichtahi. So we have a really, really interesting case. So this is a situation where we have somebody who became Tameh Lemes, a Nazir, and he obviously has to go through the process of day 3 and day 7 sprinkling. Day 7 he goes to the mikvah. But since he was a Nazir and there was a defilement of Nazirus, you have the added complexity, the added factor, right, of day 7 and day 8. Day 7 he would shave the hair off his head and bring the Shtei Tziporim, Achas L'Chatas V'Achas L'Ola, and by Yom HaShmini, he'd bring the Korban Asham of the Keves and the Log HaShaman. But let's say, right, on day 7, right when he's in that intermediate space, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, no, for sure, nothing's going to transition to day 8, but Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's going to say, day 7, we're going to look at that as a completion, he can already start counting his next years, he becomes Tameh again. So how do we look at that? So according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, it's what we call a tuma arichta. He never emerged from his tuma. Remember, his tuma, according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, is only really going to be over on day 8, even though he already went to the mikvah, right? He's got to bring that korban asham, which is the day 8 korban. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it's a little bit more complicated. What are we going to say about that case, right? Because he became tuma on day 7. Day 7, which is when he started to already count the next naziros, right? So that's what we have to try to figure out. For Rabbi, it's obvious that it's a tuma arichta. Ve'ida nitma b'shmini, v'chaz of nitma b'shmini, hare yatzis ha'sha'a sheru'uya lahavi karban. Even Rabbi Yehuda Anasi will agree, because on the eighth day, even if you haven't technically brought your karban asham yet, you could have. So my time with the Rabbi, damrka, v'chiper alav me'asher chatal nefesh, v'hadar, and only then, v'kidash es rosho. And only then do we have the notion of restarting the count of Naziris. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, in Cain, if that were really so, Le Mekra, V'kidash Es Rosho, top line, Yud Ches Amud Beis, Vayomahu. Lamali, why do we have those two extra words, Vayomahu? Imenu Inin L'Shmini, Tanei Inin L'Shmi. So if it's not relevant for the eighth day, then it should be relevant for the seventh day. Remember, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, Vayomahu tells me that in effect I can start counting the Naziris to Tahara on the seventh day. Rabbi Nami, Haksiv, Ayomahu, Amelcha, Rabbi, O Lahachu, the Asalomacha, Achopi, Shalohevi, Karbonosav, that when you're dealing with the eighth day, since it's already the eighth day, it's considered to be a Sha'ahara Uyla Karbon. It's very similar to a concept that we have so many different times in Shas of Kalharoi, Labila, Ain Bila Malkevesbo. As long as you have the fundamental conditions in place, you don't actually have to have brought the Karbon. So we're going to push the outer boundaries of this in a second. We're going to say that maybe the night following day 7, which is halachically already the beginning of the eighth day, we're going to have to look at that case as well. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista Maiduch Meluki Ki Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Luk Mekevan Denitma D'Chazir B'Lel Shmini V'Rebihi. So why would we want to try to say this is according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't we say it's according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and just say that it was the night following day 7? Remember, Al Pi Halacha Vayerev Vayivoker, that's already the eighth day, right? Technically speaking. So that should be good enough for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Now, there is a little bit of a nuance here that I'm going to give you the proper framework and infrastructure for understanding. It is true that in Halacha, we always say Hayom Holech achar halayla. Halachically speaking, night always precedes day. But there is one exception to that, which is why I began exactly where I began today to discuss the connection between Nezirus and Kachin. Does anybody know the one exception to that rule where we say, Halayla holech achar hayom, the night really follows the day? Where do we say that? Only in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach doesn't work at night. Strong union laws amongst the Kohanim. All that you can do at night is the Hekter Chalav and Ve'evarim, right? The leftover Karbanos from that day. So wait a second. If we're really focused on the Beis HaMikdash, maybe this isn't going to work, right? Maybe you really are going to need day 8, a Sha'a Sheru'uya Lahavi Korban. So the Gemara is testing the outer boundaries. The Gemara is giving us a sense, maybe we can push the envelope a little bit here and say that the Tumah happened on the night following the seventh day and get it under the bar for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, okay? So my Duchman, okay, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, look, my Kareban, the Nidma, the Chazib, the Shmini, the Rabbi, so me, the Lomokim, the Rabbi, the Nidma, the Chazib, the Lelia, Lav mechusar's manhu, that will say that Laila, even though technically speaking, right, you can't bring a carbon at night, that's really more of a technicality. But fundamentally, we should relate to it as the eighth day, and it should already be a time to start the Nezirus to Tahara. So, Amr of Adav or Abba, Ha behatalia. Really, it all goes together, and we're not going to be able to be moken the Mishnah Libra the Rebu Danasi. Iam Adelia mechusar's man. If you'll tell me that Laila is really mechusar's man, it's not the appropriate time for him to bring the carbon asher and masay machs to the carbon, the tzafra, nezirus nami lo chayla, the tzafra, you're going to have to wait to the eighth day, and therefore the nezirus tara can only start to be counted by the eighth day. V'yam arlelia, eino mechusar's man, and if you'll tell me that the nighttime really isn't technically speaking a mechusar's man, if that's what you'll say, nezirus tahara chayla me'orta, then we'll say the nezirus tara already starts, you know, by the night. If it already starts by the night, then you wouldn't really have to wait for the eighth day altogether. So getting back deeper into the discussion, when we had this issue of the Tuma Arichta, so Gufa, Nidma Bishvi, V'chazer V'nidma Bishvi, Eino Mevi Ella Karban Echad. So we have a situation here where a person became Tame on day 7, and then became Tame on day 7 again. This is like, you know, the nightmare, right, scenario. You waited all 7 days, you got the ashes of the Parah Aduma sprinkled to you day 3, day 7, you went to the mikvah, and then Oyvei, right, before we call Harev Shemesh, before we have the Tseisa Kochavim, a person becomes Tame again. We're going to say the complicating factor of Nezirus, remember, he has to bring his Karban, maybe he's only going to have to bring one Karban. But let's talk about, remember, there are 3 korbanos. There are 2 birds. One is a chatas, one is an ola. Then there's a keves, la'asham, and then a lokshaman, and also on day 8. So which korbanos are we talking about? Nidma b'shin v'chazor, nidma b'shin, or maybe ala korban echad. Nidma b'shin v'chazor, nidma b'shin, maybe korban kol echad v'echad. Mas chilumone miyad, divi Reb Lazar. You can start counting his Naziris Tahara right away, according to Reb Lazar. Chachamim omer, korban echad al hakol. So the chachamim say that you bring one korban for all of these tumos. We're not going to say that each time you became tamei requires its own discrete korban, and we're going to pass in that way. Ad sheyavi chataso. Hevi chataso, but if you already brought the oaf lechatas v'nitma, and then you became tamei, v'hevi chataso v'nitma, maybe korban al kol echad v'echad. The outer boundary point of this idea that we're only going to have one korban for repeated instances of tuma is if you haven't brought your korban chatas. Right? I mean, the korban chatas saying that you defiled or nezirus. But if you already brought your korban chatas, then how could you say that a korban chatas that was already brought expiates you from a tuma that hasn't happened yet? It's a very compelling argument. Right? So if you hadn't brought the korban chatas, then you could say, yeah, a nazir who becomes tamei has to bring a chatas, has to bring an ola, has to bring a korban asham, and they didn't bring any of that yet, so if I became tamei again, I'll hold one korban in abeyance. But if I already brought the korban chatas, isn't everybody going to agree that I'm going to have to bring another korban chatas? That should be, you know, very clear. Right? There shouldn't be too much debate about that. So it seems like that would be the point that everybody should agree to. So even according to the Chachamim, we say korban echad al hakol, that's only true as we say ad sheyavi chataso. Hevi chataso v'nitma, if he brought his korban chatas and then, you know, he became tameh, again, you know, this is a sad story, the guy is trying to extract himself from tuma and he just keeps on becoming tameh. Hevi chataso v'nitma, maybe korban al kol echad v'evi echad. Hevi chataso v'lo hevi ashamo. Now let's say he brought his korban chatas, a normal case, and he hasn't yet brought his korban asham, mona. He can start counting his nezirus to tahara. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, Kishem shechataso ikvaso kein ashamo ma'akvo. So just like he can't start counting until he brings his karmen chatas, right? So too, the asham is going to be ma'akev. Bishlam, the Rebbe Lazar and Merkra. According to Rebbe Lazar, this is very logical. The pasuk says, Viki dashes for a show. How afa bishalo hevi karmen osav. Rabbanan, how afa bishalo hevi ashamo. Right? The rabbis are going to say, even if he hasn't brought his karmen asham, he's not going to be able. Oh, look, Rabbi Shmuel, how ulanali? What's he going to use it for? Samlechal, how afa bishalo hevi olaso. He's going to say that even if you haven't brought your korban ola, so Rabbanah and the rabbis are going to say that's a bridge too far for us. Ola lo ba'i miuta, you don't need a special pasuk to tell me that I can start counting even though I haven't brought my ola, doron ba'almahu. So this is a very critical line. That with your permission, even though we're not learning Kachem, we are learning Nazir, I really want to take a moment to try to do some justice to. Remember, each korban has its own dynamic. The Korban Chatas is most directly related to the fact that your Nazirus was defiled, that was sinful, right? The Korban Asham is the guilt, right? Maybe that's associated with an aggravated offense because nobody forced you. It's one thing if you're a Kohen, right? If you're a Kohen and you become Tameh, you know, you were born a Kohen, those are the rules of the road. But the aggravating factor in the case of the Nazir is you put yourself in this position. Maybe that's why you're chayev a korban asham. And it makes a lot of sense to say that you would need an explicit pasuk to tell me that I would be able to begin counting had I not, you know, brought my chatas, had I not brought my asham, etc. But the ola is just a doron. The ola is like an entry point. Remember learning these topics with Lichtenstein Zatzal, you know, and he was excellent at everything, but especially at explaining, you know, this idea. So there's the, I remember him giving a certain mashal. So let's say somebody is a little bit insensitive to their wife, not that it ever happens, and, you know, they realize that maybe it's time to apologize, right? So, you know, there's like a chata stage and an ola stage. The chatas is the, you have to say you're sorry, and then you can, you know, bring a daron, you can bring a gift, right, as a way of, you know, saying, not just am I sorry, but, right, sort of, you know, rehabilitating the relationship, right? So just to give an example, okay? Practical example of what we mean here. So let's say you want to bring flowers, right? So the first thing to do is to say sorry, right? You're not just going to show up with flowers. You say, I don't want your flowers, you know? What are you trying to bring me flowers for? You think you just get off bringing me flowers? But if you, you know, write a nice card and you apologize and say that, you know, you're growing as an individual from the experience and, you know, and the like, and that's your korban chatas, and then, right, say, well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you understand why this was hurtful to me. And then you say, oh, let me run out to the car. I've got something for you. And you bring out the ola sa'of, that is to say, the flowers. Now we're talking, right? Okay. So that doesn't directly relate to, you know, the sin. That's a way of restoring, you know, the relationship itself. By the way, there are a few cases in halacha where the ola comes before the chatas that Rav Lichtenstein had a very beautiful explanation for, but not so much for now. So we're saying, the rabbi said to Rabbi Shmuel, why would you need a pasuk to tell? Of course you could start counting. The korban ola is just additive, right? It's not fundamental to the process of kapara. So, good. So it's a doron ba'almahu. So my time I would do Rabbanan. So what's the rationale of the rabbis? Tanya, v'hizir la'ashem esimini. Yisro v'evi kevis v'ench nasor la'ashem. Ma tam alomar? L'fisha matzinu shekol ha'ashem ha'shevetara she ma'akvin yachal avzem ma'akvo. That this is going to hold him up from resuming his nizirus tatara. Tam alomar tafmai nitzesam na'alef. V'hizir v'hevi avavishal ha'hevi hizir. Even if he hasn't brought his ashem yet, he's still mechuyav to bring the carbon ashem. But he's able to resume his nazirus. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, v'hezer v'hevi, ma'aseh hezer b'zman shehevi. He actually has to have brought his korban asham. So again, there's a really interesting question here. To me, it's such an elegant question. Is the chatas sufficient? Right. The chatas is the expiation for you're defiling your Nazirus. So we think, okay, once you brought the Chatas, you can start counting again. Or are we going to have to wait to the Asham? Because the Asham, again, correlates with that aggravated sense of offense, right? So it's going to be affiliated with that. That's really the question which is at stake here in this Machlokes HaTanaim. It's only the outlying view of Rabbi Yishmael who would argue that, you need a special pasuk to tell me that I could start counting even without the Korban Ola. So now we move to a real... Yeah. What's the nature of the Korban Asham? Right. So that's a really good question. Right. Right. Martin says, you already said sorry. Like, how many times can I apologize? So the Korban Asham is what I like to call Korban for aggravated offense. It's literally a guilt offering. Right? The Korban Asham is a situation where you have it in the cases of Asham Mi'ila, Asham Gzelos. There are certain kinds of offenses that, without getting into each and every case right now, we assume have aggravating components to them. What I'm suggesting here is that Nazir is one of those because nobody told you to become a Nazir. In fact, maybe we told you that there was something sinful about becoming Nazir, as we're going to get back to in a second, Reb Lezer Kapar. So not only did you violate your Nazirus, but you put yourself in a situation that was sinful to begin with, even if you not violated it. So when you violate it, right, we're really going to hit you. This is like, you know, whatever it is, speeding, in a school zone or doing whatever it used to be when I was a kid. I guess this is no longer in fashion anymore, but doing drugs in the school zone, right? Right. There was an aggravated offense, right? Not only is it wrong, but you're right now exposing the kids to it. So it's an aggravated offense for the Korban Asham. Okay. So, last topic that we're going to see has to do, with very fond memories of Masech the Nedarim. That's why we do it in this order. So, an Isha becomes a Nazira, and then she becomes Tameh, and then the husband, right, negates her vow. Amazing. She only has to bring the Chatas, but not the Ola. We're bifurcating. And the Gemara says, what in the world is that all about? So I'm Rav Chisda Rishmali. So my kasavar, we don't understand the Shita. Ikasavar baal meyakar akar, chatasov nami lalaisi. If we would understand, as you recall, we had this whole discussion, there was a machokes beisil alvei shamai, what is the husband doing when he's negating her nether? Is he uprooting it as if to say it never took place? Or megas gaias, he's cutting it down. If you assume that he's uprooting it, why would you have any korban, let alone nola? You'd have a chatas, right? And if you assume he's only cutting it down, mikan ulahava, not retrospectively, but prospectively, right? So then why wouldn't there be a chatas and an ola? So my kasuk is everbal meyakar akar, chatas of nami lelesi, kas everbal megas gaias, olas of nami lelesi, le olam kasavar bal meyakar akar. We should assume that the baal is actually uprooting everything. Mishmal sabar, look, Rabbi Lazar akapar. And he holds like Rabbi Lazar Akapar, but in a very fascinating way. What sin is associated with Nazirus? The Ramban will tell you the fact that you didn't continue to be a Nazir. So somebody who deprives themselves, let's say, who's a Sharei B'tainis, even more so. So what he's saying, Rabbi Shmuel is saying here, is yeah, the neder was never chal at all. It wasn't like she was ever retrospectively nazir, but the very fact that she was willing to contemplate depriving herself from wine, and presumably she did so for a period of time until she became, Temeah, even though we're going to uproot that, that's itself a sinful act. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, believe it or not, she would have to bring a chatas. Even though she never halachically was a Nazira. The very willingness to become a Nazira is itself problematic. Wow. Okay. Natan is shocked by that shita. As am I. Okay, he's in good company. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'hab Nazir Tameh Ksiv. That was only written about a Nazir becomes Tameh. The Gemara says, don't worry about that. I don't know if you know Nazir Tara coming in, because every Nazir Kapur, Nazir Tara, Nami Chotehu. The Nazir Tameh is just, a double offender in the sense that he was willing to become a Nazir to begin with, sin number one, and then he defiled his Nazirus, sin number two. So we said before, the person who becomes a Nazir in the cemetery, and then he goes out of the cemetery and he becomes Tahor, right? Hazar shlishi v'shvi, and then he goes in the mikvah, and then he comes back in. So that's the situation of defiling his nazirus. Yatzim nechles olu lamin aminyan. He's a tani olu lamin aminyan mishum de yatzah chalalei nazirus. So just because he left, isn't he tamei? You know, how did the nazirus start? So Amr Shmuel, he goes to yatzah v'hiza v'shina, sprinkled day 3, day 7, v'tavali with the mikvah. So nichnas hudolim naminin and lo nichnas ain olim naminin. So lo mi baya kamer lo mi baya yatsa elo filo nichnas. Even if he subsequently defiled his nazirus olim lo min haminin, it would count towards the ultimate nazirus. Some of the Rav Kahana, the Rav Asi, the Rav, my time alone with Farshas Lan Kahalim Milin. Why don't you explain this to us? Some of the Hon Amina Dilma Lo Tzrichisu, that this would be a point that was obvious to you. So again, just to review what it was that we saw. So we talked about a really critical idea that in a situation where a person who's a nazir becomes tameh, we know that there's a very complex korban. There's a chatas, there's an asham, there's an ola, chatas and ola along with the glachas on day 7, and the korban asham on day 8. We have a machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi when exactly we could start counting the Naziris Tahara. In other words, what we're really after is this question, is what is the relationship between day 7 and day 8? So according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right, you can't restart counting until you're done with that process of expiation, which Martin includes the Karban Asham. According to Rabbi Yossi, we have a Chiddush that it could actually already start by day 7, right? And that's a very interesting idea. He seems to perceive day 8 a little bit outside. Now, the Gemara from there takes it to a much deeper discussion about, like, what role is each korban playing here? The chatas, we understand, is the expiation. The asham, we talked about, as being the, you know, aggravated expiation. What about the korban ola? So, using the mashal of, you know, my Rabbi Wichtenstein, those are the flowers that you're keeping in the car, okay? Now, here you have to use a little bit of wisdom, because my kids are terrible at keeping secrets, okay? So if the kids know about it, then the whole timing is going to be thrown off. You cannot let them know. If they know, they're going to sink the ship on the timing, okay? There are vivid memories of this. My daughter was like 3 years old. It was Ima's birthday. I took her to get the birthday present with Ima, and I say, but don't wait. Wait till next week, and then tell Ima. We run into the house. I'm telling you, we weren't there for more than 6 seconds. She said, Ima, we got you a birthday present. And I said, didn't we speak about this? Come on. What's that all about? Okay, so the Ola, we said, is a Doron Ba'alma. Right? That's just, you know, sort of, you know, the icing, as we would like to say, on the cake. Then we moved on to an amazing discussion about a woman who, it turns out, she was never really Nazira. She really never was Nazira. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's an amazing shita, she still has to bring a Chatas Ha'of. Why? So this is the most expansive view of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. The Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says it's so sinful, that even if technically speaking, we would agree that you were never a Nazir because the husband came along and cut it down, right? And uprooted it retroactively, she still has to bring a Korban Chatas, the Chatas Ha'of. That's an amazing idea. Okay, and then we talked about one other issue, which is really a kachim issue, but she repeated in terms of whether lailas should consider mechusar zman. In all of halacha, please remember this is a fundamental point. We always say hayom holichachar laila. The yarvei voker Shabbos is going to start tonight and it'll go till tomorrow. Okay, but in the Beis Hamikdash, halaila holichachar hayom. Right, so that's a little bit of a nuance here. So do we say the night following day 7, is that really going to be considered like day 8? For purposes of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Let's hold it up here. I want to wish everybody a really wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi, and thank you for dedicating learning today, maybe for Rafua.
Amen.
Amen. Shabbos, everyone.
Okay, so nice to meet.